Well, it's Mother's Day, but it's also Evangelism Month, so we're going to preach on the mission-minded church tonight. So if you open your Bibles, Acts chapter 12, we'll start in Acts chapter 12. Mission-minded church. I'm going to start reading in Acts chapter 12, verse 24. I'll read just about six verses here. Acts chapter 12 and verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. That's a good thing. Amen. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, I pray that the words tonight will be an encouragement. It'll be just a stepping stone to another level, another plateau that we can reach as a mission-minded church, Lord. Help us to get a good view of this church here in Antioch and just draw some parallels and also some encouragement and just some things that we need to do as a church to be able to send out people like they did. So, Father, I just pray you just bless the message. Lord, help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A mission-minded church. You know, the greatest thing our church can be is soul conscious. Just conscious that the people out there have a soul, an eternal soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. And we know that most people really are going to hell, aren't they? I mean, there's a broad way and there's a narrow way. And we need to be burdened for people's souls. Trevor Raleigh is an absolute heartbreaker, isn't it? That it's a wasted life. And, you know, so close it seemed that he was to just getting saved. But we don't know. We really don't know where Trevor is. I don't know Trevor's heart that when he took his life. But what I'm saying is, you know, who wants to think that way? I'd like to know that people are saved and they're in church and they're growing. And we just need to be really burdened for people's souls, because there's millions, literally millions of people out there that are just lost. So that's one thing we need to be, is soul conscious and burdened, like this church here is at Antioch, and we're going to learn some things from them. You know, God's call is to the local church. God's call is to His church, and this New Testament local church right here, this body of believers. He's calling to us. He's speaking to us through the passages of this Scripture right here. And, you know, the church at Antioch was mission-minded. And we also need to be mission-minded. We need to be thinking about sending out missionaries and being called ourselves to be missionaries. I mean, this is the fertile soil. This is where the seeds are planted. And this is where God plucks the fruit, right here in the local church. And, you know, the church at Antioch was relatively a new church. And they're already sending people out. They were sending people out into the mission field. The first two great missionaries there, Barnabas and Paul, go out from this church here. But all of us together, we have to realize it's not just some. It's every single person in the church is part of the Great Commission. Every single person here is together, is unified as not only missionaries, but sending out missionaries out of this church. When God speaks to us and shows us somebody that he could be preparing for the mission field. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Graham, would you read that? 1 Corinthians 12, 12.
For if the body is one, that many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so all Christ.
You see, there's many members in this local body, but all together, we're just one body. But there's many different members in the church. But it's unified. It's just like the human body. I'm going to talk about that later. But there's many of us here, but we're all one body. And we're unified, and we should be in unity, because God is looking at a church that's unified that He can call His missionaries out of. We need to be willing to obey the Great Commission. Our purpose is to send and to go. Our purpose is to send and to go as missionaries. If God should call you, are you ready to go? I mean, don't be afraid. If God should call you, are you ready to go? We need to be ready when God calls. Willing to obey, because that's our purpose. Our purpose is either is to send and also to go ourselves, if we're the ones that God calls. Now, there's not one person in here that God can't call to missionary service. Did you know that? Not one person in here. You know, I know there's a lady in one of the churches I was in, and she was very old. But you know what she used to do? She used to call people. She used to call people on the phone and talk to them about the Lord. And she would send cards out. She was a missionary. She was doing something to excite that soul about heaven and about getting saved. Because she really couldn't do much else. But she could pray, send cards, and talk on the telephone. Amen? So, I mean, she was a missionary. She's doing something to further the gospel. A mission-minded church is a Bible-minded church. Aren't you glad you have a Bible in your lap? Aren't you glad that the pastor pushes, focuses, everything is out of this book? Out of this book. This Bible is the center and the focus of our worship, how we worship. But we need to be Bible-minded. We also need to be an obedient church. Because like I said, this is the soil where missionaries come from. They're not coming from out there. Missionaries come from the local church. This is where God swoops down and takes a good look around and says, puts their finger on someone and then expects the pastor and others to train them. It's the church that trains preachers. Not mission boards. Churches train preachers to go out into the world. The Lord should find fruit here. He really should. He should find willing souls ready to go. I'm talking about a mission-minded church. And we as a church body should have enough discernment, spiritual discernment, to say, you know, I've been watching that young man's life. God may call him. I'm going to begin to pray for him. I'm going to begin to pray for that girl and see what God might do in their life. But don't be afraid to be called into service, because God can use anybody. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read this. Verse 12 says, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Do you know God is working in each one of us to will and do of His good pleasure? That's God's part. Our part is to do all things without murmurings and disputings. To just be willing to do what God asked me to do. You notice it says, work out your own salvation. It doesn't say you have to work on it. You don't have to work in it. You work out. Because you're working out what God has already worked in. God saved us. Now work it out. Be obedient to the Bible. And serve the Lord. You see? Because God wants to do something in each one of us, and that's His good pleasure to do that. So that's a mission-minded church. But there's, what does a mission-minded church really look like? Well, it could look like this. It certainly could look like this. I mean, like I said, God is looking at this church and wants to find who we can send on the mission field. It may be here. It may be in Singapore. But God wants to send missionaries out into the field. Not just stay here and sip every Sunday morning and get a little bit from the message and then do nothing with it. God is looking for people that He can send out into His harvest field. But first, it'll be a serving church. A mission-minded church will be a serving church. Go back in Acts chapter 13. Let me just read verses 1 and 2 again. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Then he lists all the names. And then in verse 2 he says, and as they ministered to the Lord. As they ministered to the Lord. I mean, they were serving the Lord. You see that? And the key to it is, your service should be to who? To the Lord. Because God looks into the heart of each and every one of us as we serve Him to see what our motive is. Why are we doing what we're doing? You can be busy, 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 but doing it for your own glory, 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 instead of the glory of God. But God wants us to do it for Him. So God's looking at our motives. But they ministered to the Lord. In fact, it says in verse 25 of chapter 12, it says, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their what? Their ministry. They were ministering to the Lord. First, it has to be a serving church. Our focus needs to be on service. Ministry is for everybody. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. John, would you read that? And verse 12.
For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Yeah. So God gave to the church apostles and prophets. Now they're gone now. We don't have any more apostles. There's no more prophets, but there's evangelists, and there's pastors, and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. I mean, we're all in the ministry together, you see. We're all to be serving the Lord together. And there's certain people that have been put into the church to help perfect the saints, to help the saints do the work of the ministry, and they're doing the work of the ministry, and then to edify the entire body of Christ. But a mission-minded church has to be a serving church. The church at Antioch was ministering to the Lord. They were just busy about the Lord's work when God called Barnabas and Saul out of that church. Hey, it moved on me. I'm here to serve at Bible Baptist Church. I mean, this is the church that you serve at right here in Bible Baptist Church. So that's what we need to be, a serving church. But we need to focus also on fulfilling our ministry. You see, back in Acts chapter 12 again. Acts chapter 12, it says, Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. It's one thing to serve. It's another thing to fulfill your ministry. That means to continue in it till it's done, to execute it, to finish it, to complete it, to fulfill your ministry. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't back up. Don't give up. Just keep serving the Lord. That's what the Bible says. They ministered, but they fulfilled their ministry. Look in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 17. Ruth, would you read Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 17? Wow. Take heed, Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have, that you fulfill it, that you finish it. Don't quit. Don't give up, Archippus. Fulfill the ministry that God has given you. I'm telling you, that means something to God. It means something to the Lord when we begin to do something for God that we don't stop, that we fulfill the ministry that God's given us. You know, even handed out hundreds of those Mother's Day little cards. The streets just kept going and winding, and it's like it was never ending. But we just kept going until the bag was empty. I mean, little things like that, really, believe me, little things like that just make a servant out of you. They make you somebody who's going to fulfill whatever God gives you to do. You're going to finish it. You're not going to stop. And you're not going to murmur. And you're not going to dispute about it all the time. You're just going to do what God tells you to do. That's the kind of church that's a mission-minded church. Because God can call missionaries out of that church because there's people in there that are fulfilling their ministries. It doesn't have to be big. It could be any ministry as long as you're doing it and you're fulfilling it. It's all important. You know, there's ministry is for everyone, but there's many different gifts and many different talents, but we're all serving together. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read in verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Don't forget that. God put you where you are because it pleased Him. And if they were one member, they were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. All of us are here and have a ministry, hopefully find a ministry, whether it's playing the guitar or preaching the word of God or putting out the hymnals or serving tea and coffee or in the creche or Sunday school or whatever you're doing. We all need to do what we're supposed to do because God has put us in that ministry to fulfill it. And that's part of being a mission-minded church. Serving, executing, fulfilling our ministry so God can come down here and if He decides to put His finger on somebody, He can find somebody in this church that's serving the Lord and say, I want to make a missionary out of that person. Because that's exactly what was going on in the church at Antioch. This kind of mindset prepares us for greater works. Doing the little things. I mean, you don't just get up and start preaching the gospel or going out onto the street corner and preaching. You start doing all the little things in the church. And whether it is just putting the hymnals out and clean it up when everything's done. That's part of ministry. You start in the mailroom. You don't start as the CEO of the company. Because most people coming out of college today think they all should be the CEO of the company. That nobody can pick up a hammer anymore. Nobody knows how to build a house anymore. Nobody wants to do anything that causes that you need to do any bit of labor or anything. They all want to sit in front of a computer and be a CEO like Steve Jobs. Well, you got to start at the bottom and do the little things. And then God can put His finger on you and say, I found somebody who's faithful. Just doing what I've asked them to do. Believe me, that's the people that God's looking for. Not the people walking around snapping their suspenders thinking there's something. Just people doing their job. Doing the work of the ministry. I've seen it. This is the mindset that prepares us for greater service. Training in the local church. Serving in your local church. That young man up there playing the guitar is getting ready for greater service. He started by just playing the guitar. I don't even know if he was on key. But he was up there trying to play the guitar for God. Hopefully, for the Lord. That should be the motive of that young man. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And he's getting trained. And he's getting prepared. Because he's serving the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Kathy, would you read that verse?
1:12.
Mm-hmm. You get that? Paul said, He counted me what? Faithful. God's just looking for faithful men and women. Not with great ability and talents. He's just looking for somebody who He knows when He tells them to do something, put something on the heart, they'll be faithful to do it. To serve Him and fulfill their ministry. I tell you, we got to get this thing straight. And I think good things are going on in this church because people do fulfill their ministry. Hopefully they're staying at it. And that's honoring to God. Paul said, I was put into the ministry because God counted me faithful. I just want to be a faithful man. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And in verse 7, Nita. You know, there's a gift there called ministry. And it says, let us wait on our ministering. It seems funny. It's almost like God saying, wait. Get into the ministry, serve God, but wait. No, it's not really what He's saying. He's saying, be ready to serve. You know what I think of when I think of the word wait? I think of a waiter. Yeah. I think of two people sitting at a table on Mother's Day You know, she'd take the mom out for a dinner or something, which I didn't do anyway. But but you know what the waiter does? He comes over. Can I get you some water or something before your dinner? Yeah. And then he goes over in the corner and he waits. What's he doing? He's waiting until they're ready for the next part of the order. Are you guys ready to order now? And he waits on them. He's a waiter. What's he doing? He's serving them. Then he walks away. He gets over and he watches again until they're done eating. Comes and takes the plates. He's waiting on his service, on his ministry. We ought to be waiting on our ministry, ready, preparing ourselves all the time what the needs are in the ministry. That's what waiting on your ministry is, being a good waiter, being a good servant. That's what I want to be. Don't you want to be a good servant for the Lord? Amen. This is God searching. God looks in a serving church. And we need to be ready for every opportunity and see every need that's in the church and try to fulfill that need. Go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And look at verse 19. Acts chapter 20. Pastor, would you read verses 19 through 21?
Serve the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which were dealt me by the lying way of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I showed you, and taught you publicly, from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, I just see that word, with all humility. With all humility of mind, Paul served the Lord. And through tears and through temptations and all that befell me by the lying way to the Jews, he kept a humble person about him. A humble mind that allowed him to keep nothing profitable from them. And publicly, house to house, he served and served and served. And he testified to both the Jews and the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he just humbled himself. He just kept humbling himself in the ministry. Look at verse 24. Would you read that, Pastor?
But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. For the ministry which I received in the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
Wow. What did he do with his course? He finished. We need to finish. We need to be servants. He was given a course to finish. And he finished it. We need to be a serving church. Just like the church at Antioch. Serving and finishing. That's what a spiritually mature believer does. He finds the need. God speaks to him. Shows him what he wants him to do. And he does it. And he finishes it. Or she does it. And she finishes it. Executes her ministry. That's a mission-minded church. Because out of that church, that person gets the others that God may put their finger on. And also, they might be the one that God calls to a greater service, maybe to the mission field. Hey, come on. We're supposed to be sending out missionaries. We ought to be fertile ground for missionaries. We have one sitting here, but I'm telling you, there's others that are sitting here that God could put his finger on. And we need to be aware of that and be praying for those people that God may put his finger on. A mission-minded church will be a serving church like Antioch. It'll be a sanctified church. Look back in Acts chapter 13. In verse 2 it says, "And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away." I'm telling you, a clean life. What I see here with this fasting and praying, it just seemed like normal disciplines to the church. You know, it's not really a normal discipline for the church today to fast. But I'll tell you, we need to do it more. We need to do it more in these days. Maybe we're not under the persecution that they were, but there's a lot of big decisions. And there's a lot of things that need to be done. And a lot of discernment that we need that 3 square meals a day is not going to give us. We need to draw closer to God. I'll tell you what, I'm preaching to myself. We need to draw closer to God through this discipline of fasting. I'm not going to tell you how to do that. Maybe that'll be preached on another time. We all know it's denying yourself some things that would take you away from God. Or at least not set your thoughts on the Lord. When you're sitting down mealing at dinner, you know, you say thank you and then you just go out. You're not really thinking of the Lord. But if you deny yourself, if you give up some things, you'll start thinking about God. You'll spend more time in prayer. And I know I would too. But these are self-disciplines. And I think a clean life, a disciplined life like this, sets us apart for greater service. A sanctified church. A church that's really serious about cleaning up their lives for the Lord. Fasting is just practicing some self-denial. Not to be saved, not to stay saved, but because I need to draw close to God. I haven't heard from Him in months, and I want to hear from God. And I have some decisions to make in my life or in my ministry and think, I just can't do it unless I just have nothing but God. And maybe I need to just fast and draw close to the Lord. It seemed like it was normal for them in the church here. And when God came down, they heard, they knew, they heard the voice of God because they were a clean church. Praying for wisdom, praying for His will, praying on behalf of others. Just natural. It should come natural. It should be a normal discipline for us. Big decisions demand prayer and fasting. It directs our attention to God. Now, a church that's fasting and praying and drawing close to God and sanctifying itself is a church that God can speak to. We'll be able to hear Him. It won't be like the static in a radio where you're trying to tune it in and you really can't hear what the person's saying on the radio. It's static. And some of us, really, it's just static from God. You're not hearing a clear voice from God. You're not hearing Him anymore, and even in your Bible reading. There's something that needs to be done. You got to move to another level. There's something. There's a barrier in your life. It may be a sin barrier. Maybe you just need to give up something. Say, I'm just going to draw close to God. He's going to be all I need for the next 2 or 3 days. Because we need to hear that still small voice. God doesn't shout. He just speaks to us through His Word. And we hear Him in here, don't we? We hear Him right here. You know, little Samuel there, I thought of Samuel. Just a child, and he ministered to the Lord. And he kept waking up at night because God was calling him. Here am I. And he'd go in and see if Eli called him. He'd go back to bed. God would call him, Samuel. He was just a child. But he was clean. He was a sanctified child. And God was calling him. Here am I. I want to hear like Samuel did. The Holy Ghost separates, calls, and sets apart people for service. People for His great work. He's the one that calls missionaries to service. Do you see that? It says in verse 2, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. And they heard that very clearly. They knew as a church that God had called these two men to go and start missionary work. They knew it because they were sanctified. They were in touch with God. And by the way, it's the Holy Spirit of God that calls men. It's not the pastor. It's not other men. God calls men. And I'll get a little bit more into that. Acts chapter 9. Just go back to Acts chapter 9. Dennis, can you read verses 15 and 16 of Acts chapter 9? Now this is Paul getting his marching orders through Ananias. And who's doing the talking? The Lord. Yeah. The Lord's doing the talking. The Lord's the one that calls, and the Lord's the one that gives you the ministry and tells you what He wants you to do. He had a specific work for Paul. And He has a specific work for you. And He will speak to you and tell you what He wants you to do. If you're sensitive to that. If you're sanctified in your life, if you're clean in your heart, God will speak to you. He wants to use you. Now, let's look at some verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We are positionally sanctified. We are in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And in verse 30, Paul, would you read that? 1 Corinthians 1:30. And sanctification. How? In Christ. We are in Christ. But of Him are ye in Christ. That's a position that we have. We are in Christ. We are sanctified in Christ. He is our sanctification. Chapter 6, verse 11, Paul. Chapter 6, verse 11. You know, you used to be, in verse 10, drunkards and revilers and covetous and extortioners. We know what you used to be, but you're not that anymore. Because you can't inherit the kingdom of heaven in that condition. You were that. But ye are washed and ye are sanctified, set apart in Christ. That's a position that will never change. That's an unchanging position. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 13, Marlene, can you read that? 2 Thessalonians. Yeah, chosen you to salvation through who? Sanctification of the Spirit of God. So we are positionally in Christ. We're sanctified that way in 1 Peter 1, 2 also says that. But really we're talking now about progressive sanctification. That happens every day. Every day by obedience to His Word. Look at John chapter 17. Look at John chapter 17. All right, I'm in Christ. But what about today? What about tomorrow? What about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Am I sanctifying myself, keeping my life clean and pure so I can hear from God every day? And I don't have a sin barrier in my life. Yes, I'm still sanctified, set apart. I'm a child of God. But I don't hear Him. I'm in trouble with God. I'm in the room and Daddy's out there. And Daddy said, don't come out until you ask forgiveness. There's a barrier between me and my Father. Well, it can be that way between us and our Heavenly Father because we're not sanctified. We're not obedient to the Word of God. In John chapter 17 and in verse 17 through 19, Eric, would you read that? That's it. You know, the Lord was sent on a mission, and He sanctified Himself, set Himself apart to do whose will? The Father's. To do the Father's will. He obeyed, didn't He? He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And are we not to be the same way? He says, in verse 18, as Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So they're going to have to do the same thing I did. They're going to have to sanctify themselves through the truth, through the Bible, through being obedient to the Word of God. That's what a sanctified church is. People who are just being obedient, setting themselves apart daily through the Word of God, being obedient to God, so that we can be a mission-minded church, whether God wants to send someone or He wants to send me. I'm aware of what's going on in my church. I'm ready. Lord, whatever you want to do. Through sanctification. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What a great few verses of scripture here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Martin, would you read verses 1 through 7? That's living a clean life. You know, it says in verse 1, you ought to walk. You ought to know how to walk and to please God so you would abound more and more every day living for the Lord so that you continue to grow. You abound more and more as you walk pleasing to God. In verse 3 it says, for this is the will of God. This is the will of God. This is your sanctification. This is what sets you apart from the world. That you abstain from fornication. Abstain from all sexual immorality and impurities that are out there in that world. Abstain from fornication. You should know how, verse 4. It says, you know how to possess your vessel. You know how. None of us are ignorant to the scriptures that tell us how to live right and live holy. Every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, your body, in sanctification, holiness, purity, and honor to God. That's personal responsibility. Each of us. Not in the lust of concupiscence. You know, not always lusting to do wrong as the Gentiles, as the way we used to be. And we want to know how to be kind to each other, not covetous toward each other in the church. Because that's what it says. Don't go beyond to defraud your brother. We ought to be right in our dealings with each other. Why? Because God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Sanctify ourselves. Sanctify ourselves. That's what a mission-minded church does. They sanctify themselves. We should know how to live right and honorable in this world. A sanctified church will hear and obey God, and there won't be any sin barrier. Because a mission-minded church will be a sanctified church, just like Antioch was. Fasting and praying. Fasting and praying. Finally, it'll be a sending church. It'll be a sending church. Go back to Acts chapter 13. It'll be a sending church. We're serving. We're living clean lives. Now we're going to start sending people out. In verse 3 it says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the church... No, who sent them? The Holy Ghost. And the church. We're partners with God. We're co-laborers with God. We're in this together. We'll be a sending church. The local church is the sending agency. Mission boards don't send anybody. Local churches send out preachers and servants of God. Local churches are where they're trained too. That's where they get their best training. Is in their own local church. Bible colleges are great. We need more education. But right here is where preachers are made. Not in Bible college. Right here is where God trains people. In the local church. Not Bible colleges. This is where God works. This is in the Bible. The local church. This is where you want to serve. And this is where you want to be clean. And this is where you want to be part of whether being sent... or sending someone else. Because we're the sending agency. We're the local church. We're the base of operations. We're the army. And, you know, you could have a an army of a 100,000 army men. And out of that 100,000, you pick your special forces. You know? I was going to tell Bozzy, who's here, he's talking about being a SEAL. S-E-A-L. That's sending evangelists to all lands. That's what a SEAL is. Special forces, you see. Out of this church, we find somebody that kind of just rose to the cream of the crop. I'm going to send him. I'm going to send her. They're SEALs. They're evangelists going into all lands to preach the gospel, you see. But that's where God looks, right in this local church right here. Special forces. The Holy Spirit sends and directs, and the Lord is the captain, you see. He's in charge of all this. The Holy Spirit is the one that sent him away. So they being sent forth, called by God, sent by God. All we're doing is getting on board with God. God's the one that put his hand on somebody. God's the one that puts it in the ear of the pastor. God's the one that puts it in our hearts to pray for him. And then God sends him out. We're just partnering with God, you see? Right here in the local church. But our spiritual senses have to be made sharp by prayer and sanctification and Bible study. And again, there needs to be unity. You see that in verse 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, not that one. Verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed, when the church got together and fasted and prayed, there was unity among the body of Christ in that local church to send out Barnabas and Saul. They were just all together. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. And Amanda, would you read that? Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Wow, one mind, striving together, you see, and they're all working together here. There's unity in this church. That's what Paul's shooting for there, and that's what we ought to be shooting for here in the local church. Because when you do send somebody away, it's like sending somebody away, it's part of your family, you know. You're going to be praying for them because you care about them, you love them. You've watched God work in their life, and now you're sending them away. And you'll be caring for them. And it confirms God's call, too. We need to confirm God's call. God's the one that calls them. God's the one that sends them. But we have to confirm that. You know, we're getting in agreement with God. In Acts chapter 6, look at Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6 and verse 6. There's the laying on of hands. You see, they laid their hands on them, and then they sent them away. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 6, when they were choosing the deacons, it says in verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. They're just confirming that these men are God called, and we're behind them. You see? God's called them, and we've taken a look at them. We're confirming that God's called them, and now we're getting behind them. We lay hands on that person to send them out. But turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. We don't lay hands on anybody. If you do, you're going to be in trouble. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22. Look what it says. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of another man's sins. Keep thyself pure. So there needs to be some discernment. You know, a man needs to be proven. Man needs to be looked at. It doesn't just happen in a couple months. They get saved and they're ready to go. No. Watch their life. And confirm that, yeah, he looks like a faithful man. He looks like somebody that we can entrust the gospel to. To go out and preach the gospel. But we don't just lay our hands suddenly on anybody. They need to be proven. They need to be tested. You know, when we had a new crane come in, We would have to weight test that thing. In fact, it was done every year. And when you set that big crane, that 90-ton crane, on its outriggers, and then stick out about 100 foot of boom and you put a weight on the end, guess what happens on the back? It starts to lift up a little bit. You have to go 10% over the weight limit to really test the crane, to make sure you're getting what you paid for. So if it's 90 ton, you're putting on another 9 ton on the end of that thing. And it starts to, the back outriggers lift up. But what are you doing? You're just confirming that this crane can pick the 90 ton safely. So we're going to go 10% over that and put it through the test. And that's what God does. Sometimes you wonder, what is God doing in my life? He's putting you through a test. He wants to see if you're who you think you are. Who you think you are. He knows who you are. We just need to be careful who we lay hands on. Let me give you just a couple verses here and we're done. Proverbs chapter 25. We need to be ascending church, but we need to be careful who we lay hands on. Proverbs 25 and verse 19. Proverbs 25 and in verse 19. Kevin, do you have that? 19? Who? Be careful who you put responsibility on. Because it would be like biting down on a broken tooth. Ouch. I'm in trouble here. I sent out a man and he wasn't proven. Or it's like a foot out of joint. Anybody want to just walk around with a foot out of joint? No. And that's what happens when you put your confidence in an unfaithful man. Make sure he's a faithful man. Look at chapter 26 and verse 6. Tony, chapter 26 and verse 6. You see, you're asking for trouble. If that man winds up to be a fool, you need to take time and prove people. Take a good look at them. Watch them as they serve in the church. It's not with a condemning eye. It's not really with a judging eye. It's just watching them live their life. And you say, you know what? This person's just faithful. And you're proving them. Because you'd be asking for trouble. Because verse 7 says, the legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. There's no truth. The legs are unequal. It's not true. So you don't want to put that message. You don't want to put that message into a fool's mouth. Because the truth won't come out. There'll be truth that's lacking there. I'm just saying you need to prove God's man. That's all. You need to be in agreement with God. But before we lay hands on anybody, we need to make sure that they're proven. And the more that are sent, the more God will give you. You know, you never run out of people to send. When God starts sending people, don't worry, He's going to bring some more in for you to train. You're not going to go, oh, we can't lose Graham, or we can't lose this person or that person. We can't lose them. What are we going to do? God will send somebody else. I don't know who's been called or who's going to be called. I don't know. That just came to my head, Graham. I'm not putting my hands on you right now. You don't know. But when it happens and somebody leaves and a whole family goes, guess what? God's going to bring more in. Just like when you give to God, God puts it back in your pocket. And you give to God, God puts it back in your pocket. He's found a channel, a church that He can work through that's mission-minded. A mission-minded church will be a sending church, just like Antioch. Now, let's see if you remember. A mission-minded church will be a what first? A serving church. It'll be a serving church. What's the next thing it'll be? A sanctified church. And thirdly, it'll be a what? Ascending church. It'll be ascending church. That's what a mission-minded church. That was the church at Antioch. These three things. And they were sending out missionaries that turned the world upside down. Amen? So the challenge really is, are you serving? Are you serving the Lord? Are you living a sanctified life? This is important. How pure is your life? None of us were sinners saved by grace. But what is the barrier between you and God? Do you have Are you living a sanctified life, a disciplined life? And are you ready to send out servants? Are you ready? Are you in touch with God? Would you be ready to confirm the call in somebody's life? Are you watching and serving, sanctified? Can you hear from the Lord? And finally, are you ready to be sent? Are you ready to go? Don't be afraid to serve God. The greatest place you can be is right in the center of the will of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father.